You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is time to preview spring training as teams get ready to head to their respective camps. Let's break down the Rangers with T.R. Sullivan. I'm Allison Fetter. T.R., let's talk about the first category, which is what is the difference? And that means who could be a difference maker on the Rangers that could maybe be the difference between the team having a good season and a team maybe having a somewhat disappointing season.
I think Jonathan McCoy, Carlos Gomez, and Shin-Soo Choo, from the standpoint the Rangers did not have them the entire season last year. Choo had injuries. McCoy and Gomez were traded or acquired in July and August. Now they're going to be on the team for a full year. I think that could be a huge difference for the Rangers if those guys could stay healthy, stay in the lineup, and produce like they're capable of doing.
Okay, next category. Who might surprise? So a player that might surprise at spring training, somebody who's maybe not expected to make the 25-man roster, who might be or could just emerge as a really contributing player.
You know, Allison, we talked about this last week. I think Delino DeShields is a guy who could come into spring training, show that he can be a leadoff hitter, be a dynamic force at the top of the lineup, be a plus defender in the outfield, and I could possibly see a scenario where DeShields becomes an everyday player and it forces Chu maybe to get most of his bats at DH.
Okay, let's look at how your star player is doing. The Rangers have quite a few, but is there anything that we should look out for who is your star player and his situation, club expectations, anything that we should be looking at heading into 2017?
Well, there's no doubt who the Rangers star player is, and that's Adrian Beltre. And he's coming off a great year, but he's getting up there in age, and he's going to be 38 years old, and he's got 2 years left on his contract. He plays outstanding defense. He's a force in the middle of the lineup. He's a force in the clubhouse. This is the guy that the entire Rangers revolve around. You know, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be the man, and he's going to be the star. And the interesting thing about Beltre this spring is he's going to be playing in the World Baseball Classic. It'll be interesting to see how that affects his preparation for the regular season.
So what's the vision of the Rangers when the front office is looking at spring training and beyond? What is their vision, their big picture? I guess we kind of know it's to get to the World Series and win it. I guess when they've had a nice long run of being contenders. So when they look back at the season after it's over, what are they hoping that they saw?
The Rangers do not believe, Allison, that there are windows. They believe in being a contender year in and year out. And that's their vision. And this year will be another year to test that theory. But they do not believe that you have a certain amount of time to put down a contending team and then you have to rebuild. The Rangers want to keep winning year after year after year. And they're going to put that to a little bit of a test this year because they've lost some players, but they don't believe in rebuilding. They believe in retooling and keep on winning. So that'll be put to the test this year.
So let's look. This is kind of leads us to sort of the same kind of idea, but the perfect season. So a realistic perfect season for the Rangers would be what?
The perfect season for the Rangers would be their starting rotation carries them back into the postseason, and that would mean Andrew Kashner and Tyson Ross are healthy, full strength, and pitching like they're capable of. They've been highly regarded prospects or highly regarded pitchers with the Padres. Now that they're with the Rangers, you know, the Rangers have Cole Hamels and Yu Darvish. Put Cashner and Ross in there, they have a chance for a really strong rotation. And the other guy is Martin Perez. You know, it's time for a breakout year for this kid. He's been a great prospect for a long time. He was derailed by Tommy John. He had a decent season last year. It's time for him to really step it up and be the pitcher. But I think the perfect season for the Rangers, besides everybody staying healthy, is this rotation really coming together and really being outstanding.
Okay, let's predict the 25-man roster, understanding that there's still 6 weeks of spring training, but let's take a shot at it. So we'll start breaking it down by the two catchers.
Well, the catchers are going to be Jonathan McCoy and Robinson Chirinos. They're set there. If you look at the infield, we know Rougned Odor will play second base. Elvis will play shortstop. Beltre at third. You got a logjam at first base. I think the interesting thing there will be who's going to be the starting first baseman. My prediction is they'll start with James Loney and Ryan Rue in the platoon. Joey Galloway will start in AAA, and Jerickson Profar will be the utility infielder. I think if you look at the outfield, I think you're going to go with right now Nomar Mazara, Delino DeShields, Shin-Soo Choo, and Carlos Gomez. It all depends on if my prediction of DeShields comes true or not. But I think they'll be the four outfielders. And right now, you got to say Josh Hamilton's the favorite to be the DH. I mean, we know what he's done in the past, and I think the Rangers will give him every opportunity to be their DH in spring training.
Okay, how about the rotation?
Well, the rotation's going to start with Hamels, Yu Darvish, Martin Perez, and Andrew Cashner. I don't think Tyson Ross is going to be ready for opening day. He'll be more of a mid to late April. So I think A.J. Griffin will get the first crack at the rotation. And then I guess that leaves us with the bullpen. And, you know, we know the Rangers are going to have a really strong right-handed setup relief with Sam Dyson as their closer. They're going to have Keone Kayla, Jeremy Jeffries, and Matt Bush. I think Tanner Shepherds will come on and win a spot in the bullpen after 3 years of injuries. They need to find at least one or two left-handers. I'll say Andrew Faulkner is the favorite. They may take a second left-hander, or they may take a long reliever who would be Dylan G or Nick Martinez. My early prediction is it'll be Nick Martinez.
Good stuff. Okay, TR, thank you. We are continuing to preview spring training for all 30 teams. Let's talk about the Oakland Athletics with Jane Lee. Jane, I'm going to throw some topics at you and give me your quick thoughts on what you might see with the Oakland Athletics. So what is the difference? That meaning, who might be a difference maker on this team? If somebody has a really good year, that could be the difference between maybe the team doing pretty well or maybe being a disappointment. Who do you see as a difference maker?
I see the starting rotation as a whole. And I think, you know, you look up and down and it's a very young rotation. A lot of guys coming in with just a few months of experience under their belt, but the fact that they have that experience, you know, have gotten a little taste of the majors from last season, you know, under not so much pressure, I think, can only help them moving forward. So I think if the rotation can remain healthy and competitive, then I think they're going to have a chance to win on any given night.
There's a lot of like young players or young pitchers that really could have, I guess, breakthrough seasons this year, and that's sort of what they're maybe banking on.
Exactly. And, I mean, you look at what Sean Manaea did last year, Gerald Cotton, Daniel Mingden at times. I mean, there's a lot of names to be excited about. And, I mean, I think, you know, if you're looking best-case scenario, all those guys, you know, have the season that they're capable of having – I mean, this rotation could, you know, turn into one of the better staffs in the league. You know, maybe not this season, but I think that just the more experience they get, I mean, there are a lot of guys in this rotation that are front of the rotation arms. So I think that this is the area that the team's most excited about, and I think there's every reason to believe that it will be their strength.
Okay. Next topic, who might surprise? Maybe a player that will surprise at spring training camp, maybe make the roster out of spring training when he's not expected to, or maybe somebody who's, like, already on the roster but might do even more than he's expected to.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with pitching again and go with Andrew Triggs, who maybe hasn't been talked about as much as some of the guys that we've mentioned before, Gerald Cotton, Sean Manaea, those guys, but a guy that was really integral last year. I mean, they were running on fumes this rotation in the second half and even before then, just because of so many injuries. And Triggs was a guy that you know, going back and forth between Nashville, Triple A Nashville, so many times, and every time he came in, you know, he really produced for them. And I think that him getting a shot at the end of the year to show what he can do as a starter, I mean, it opened some eyes, and he was one of the first names that Billy Bean, David Force, Bob Melvin mentioned at the end of the season as a guy that they would closely be looking at to maybe fill one of the rotation spots. So it is a crowded mix for, you know, rotation spots right now, and of course only five are going to be there at the end of camp, but I wouldn't be surprised if Triggs comes through as one of those, maybe, you know, beating one of the younger guys that we've already mentioned for a job.
Okay, next is, how is your star? Every team has a star player, so identify that star player and just give us a little rundown how he's doing entering spring training. Is he just, like, normal, healthy, expected to have a big year? What's going on with the star of your team?
Yeah, I think even though, you know, maybe Chris Davis could be that star, I'd have to go with Sonny Gray just because he has been around a little longer. He is considered kind of the face of the team right now. And right now he is healthy, which he couldn't say for a lot of last season. So I think just having a healthy Sonny will mean a better Sonny. And hopefully we'll see him back to his former self. Now, of course, if he is throwing like his former self, then there's always a chance that he does get traded at the deadline. So as much as they want to see him, pitching the way we're used to seeing him pitch, it could maybe present something, a trade that, of course, could change the course of their season.
Okay, what's the vision? So tell me what the front office is looking at trying to accomplish this spring training and during the regular season. Obviously, this is a work in progress, but it's just kind of a big picture. What is the front office envisioning for this year?
I would think, if they're being realistic, just continuing to develop all these young guys, guys that got some experience last year and are going into their first full season. Ryan Healy, Joey Wendell, Bruce Maxwell, a ton of pitching options that are very young and still kind of getting their feet wet. And I think that if they continue to develop these guys and get continued production from them, I think that, they can start looking to contending sooner than later if they can count on these guys.
Okay, give us the perfect season. So a realistic view of the it's October now, the A's are looking back. What would be the perfect season for them in 2017?
I think if they can fight their way to the 500 mark, it may not be realistic that they reach it, but if they can kind of set that as their goal and maybe inch toward it, I think that would be considered a successful season. And I think, like I mentioned before, just seeing the continued progression of their young guys, I would add keeping Sonny Gray to a perfect season so that he is around as they continue to get better. And also just maybe along the way, cause some fits in the West and play well against the division. We saw last year the A's effectively ended Seattle's season, and it was one of the more exciting games that they had. And I think that, playing well against your division is important. And I think that, if they can do that, then it will be easier to get back to 500.
Okay, let's move on to the most important core group on the A's. So if you could just identify a few players who kind of form the core that they want moving forward as they try to get back to competitiveness.
Yeah, I think you, starting with the starting staff again, I mean, this is a group that they envision being around for a long time. You look elsewhere, they've signed several guys to one-year deals this offseason. Guys that maybe are placeholders for more young guys that are on the way. But you look at that starting staff and you see Gerald Cotton and Sean Manaea, Daniel Mingden behind Sonny Gray and Kendall Graveman. I mean, this is a group that they can and should have around for some time. And I think that, the A's have always relied on their pitching in the past, and I see them kind of sticking with that formula moving forward.
Okay, and final question. Who are you looking forward to watching in spring training? And let's start with that. Who are you looking forward to watching?
I keep going back to these young pitchers, but probably several of those guys, just because, you saw so often last year how much of a bright spot they were. I think Manaea especially has a chance to be, maybe down the road, the ace of a staff. And I think, he just has all the makings of a star, of being a star. So I think, for him having a year of experience under his belt and seeing him progress each step of the way, I think he learned more than anyone last year. And he was one of the better pitchers in all of baseball those last couple months of the season. So I'm kind of excited to see, the work he's done in the offseason, putting that into practice on the field and just kind of seeing what he's capable of.
Okay, last question. What is there to do at spring training? And the answer really for beat writers is you work most of the time. So it's really early mornings. You work through most of the day. So you may be able to, maybe grab dinner or whatever. But for spring training in Arizona, what's a writer's getaway?
I would say eating well, eating good food. There are so many good eats around Arizona. I think we're really lucky to have so many great restaurants around us. I mean, I think last year I might have going in, I think I made a list of all the places I wanted to go to, and some of them were places that I'd already been, some of them were places that, I've been wanting to go to, and So it's kind of fun. You know, it's always something to look forward to after the end of the day, because the days are really long. But I would definitely say the food. But I'm also biased, because that's how I am throughout the course of the season, too. I just look forward to all the restaurants on the road.
I'm the exact same way. Okay, Jane, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, it's time to preview the Houston Astros as it pertains to spring training. We have Brian McTaggart with us. Tags, I'm going to throw some topics at you, and you just give me your first reaction. So first topic, who might surprise? Give me a player who you think might surprise at camp, either make the roster out of spring training when he's not expected to, maybe a contributing player that may be expected to do a little bit more. Who would be a surprise?
Well, you know, this is a very deep roster. As you know, with the additions they make, it's going to be hard for anyone to kind of come out of the blue and make the roster. But, you know, if you're looking at somebody who might do that, look at their top prospect, Francis Martez. Huge numbers last year in AA. He's right now earmarked for the rotation at AAA. But if there's health problems, and we know the Astros have had health problems in the rotation, and they do have some depth in the rotation, but if Martez has a tremendous spring and there's an opportunity in that rotation, I don't think they'll be hesitant to give him a shot. That might be worst-case scenario for the Astros, because that means some other guys have fallen on their face and gotten hurt. But Martez will be in Houston, I think, sooner than later in 2017, helping out in some form or fashion.
Okay, next topic. How is your star? So first, identify the star of the Astros. That's, you have quite a selection to pick from. And what is his status? Is it status quo? Is he healthy? Does he need to improve in any area? Who's the star, and tell us about him?
Well, on a team that is filled with big names, guys you would consider stars, I think the star of this team is Jose Altuve. And that's not taking anything away from George Springer or a newcomer like Beltran or Dallas Keuchel, who won the Cy Young. But, you know, let's be honest, he's been here longer. You know, he's got a couple of batting titles under his belt, four-time All-Star, All-Star in both leagues. He's done a little bit of everything, and he's still under contract for three more years. The Astros have him for a year, and then there's two options. So that really friendly deal they signed him to in 2013 is paying dividends. And what can he do to get better? I don't know. He's really at the top of his game. But the thing about Altuve is he's gotten better every year. Last year was adding some power. He already runs well. Who knows what he's going to do for an encore, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't pull something out of his hat and show us something else that he hadn't done that improves his game in 2017. But I think Jose Altuve is the star of the Astros.
Okay, next question. What is the vision? So tell me what the vision of the front office trying to accomplish this spring training, heading into the regular season, going through the winter, big picture plan for the Houston Astros.
Well, the vision of the Astros is it's time to win. I mean, they know that. Their window is open. I mean, it's been a long 5 years. They lost 111 games, and the rebuilding and the trades they made. I mean, it's been a long road to get here, but they feel this is their time. And I think that's why they went out and made the deals they made to get three big bats into the in the lineup. You know, they've tried to add starting pitching, but their vision is we got to do everything we can to win now. We have this young core. We've added some players. This is what you need. Everything is here. It's time now to win. And so I think the next 3 or 4 years, they're really going to go for it and be aggressive and spend some money and try to win a World Series. I would think a deep playoff run or bust at this point would be a disappointment.
Okay, so that leads us to the next question, which is kind of a repeat of this question, but indulge me. So the perfect season, what would that look like for the Astros? A realistic vision. They look back this winter, they look back in the season and say, man, that was pretty awesome. What would the perfect season be for the Astros?
Well, I think a perfect season for the Astros would be winning the World Series. I mean, I think we can say that. I mean, I think they're talented enough where you can expect them to win the division, make a long run. But if you're looking for the perfect scenario, best case scenario, this is a team that's equipped to win the World Series. I mean, you might look at their starting pitching and think it doesn't stack up maybe with the Indians or Red Sox, and maybe that's true. But they do have a better lineup. They can always make a move at some point to get another starting pitcher. They do have a couple of guys at the top of the rotation who have ace stuff. And if they have big years, then they're going to be right there with anybody. And I think that's kind of the goal and the expectation is if they can at least make a really strong run at this thing. Perfect case scenario, they win it. I think they're one of the handful of teams you can say has a shot to do that this year.
Okay, next question. Name a few players that would make up what you see as the core of the Astros. Obviously, they have a lot of additions that they brought in from the outside. Who is the core of the Houston Astros?
Well, I think core, you have to start with the four guys, the four young players who have come up through their system the last few years. Of course, Altuve, George Springer, the Alex Bregman, those are the core guys, the guys that are going to hit in the middle of that lineup. They're the guys that other teams, you know, especially Bregman, have asked about in a trade, and the Astros aren't willing to give up those guys right now. Of course, Carlos Correa is right there with them, those four guys. I think you throw Dallas Keuchel and McCullers in there, your top one and two starters. Ken Giles, I mean, you have to consider they have him under control now for another 4 years. He's going to be their closer. He's going to be a huge part of what they do. If they win the World Series, he's probably going to get the final out. So I think those seven players right there are, you have to consider them their core. That's a good young core. That's a lot of talent just stretched among seven players.
Last question. Who are you looking most forward to watching in spring training? It could be a prospect, someone who you've been watching, but when you get to pick one player that you're looking forward to watching in spring training.
Well, I'm most looking forward to watching Carlos Beltran for a lot of reasons. First of all, you know, he's a player that, you know, I covered briefly when he came over here in 04, and, you know, he was a different player back then. He was a lot younger. But all I've heard from those who've been around him is just what a great leader he is. And I want to see that in action. I mean, I want to see him in the clubhouse, how he's changed, and I want to see what he's got left in the tank. I mean, he was an all-star last year with the Yankees, and, you know, 39, 40 years old. He's obviously still playing at a high level, and I'm just really curious to be around him every day and see what he's like and what he's about and what kind of impact he has on this team on and off the field.
Okay, great stuff. Thanks, Tags.
Okay, thank you.
The Angels are heading to spring training soon, so let's take a look at what we might expect during spring training camp and beyond for those Anaheim Angels. I'm with Richard Justice. I'm Allison Sweater. Richard, I'm going to throw some topics at you. You just give me the first thing that comes to mind. The first question is, what is the difference? And that means who could be a difference maker on this team? Maybe a guy who, if he has like this great year, it could put the Angels in a position where they might have a winning season. And maybe if he doesn't have such a good year, maybe it really hurts the Angels. So who is that like swingman difference maker?
I think Cameron Maven can be a huge get for them. If he's healthy, he's shown in the past, he's a guy that A, will get on base. He's a guy that will steal bases, score runs, and will play above average center field, above average outfield and left field. He is a center fielder by trade, but Mike Trout's in center. And for a team that made a lot of changes, a lot of under-the-radar changes, Cameron Maven can end up being one of those guys that you look back. I mean, Cameron Maven could end up being in the conversation for position on the All-Star team if he's healthy.
Next question, who might surprise? So give me a name of somebody who might surprise at spring training. Maybe somebody who's not expected to make the team out of spring training, it could, or somebody who could really contribute to throughout the season that we may not be expecting so much from right now. Who is that person?
Jesse Chavez. He's a right-handed relief pitcher. Now, he is 33 years old. He's been around 9 years and pitched for this is his seventh baseball team. But what he has is he knows how to pitch. He's gotten better the last couple of years, pitched 146 innings, 157 innings in consecutive seasons for the A's. He can pitch in relief. He has a changeup that is a real weapon of a pitch. And for a team that's going to need depth in both the bullpen and in the rotation, I think Jesse Chavez could end up being one of the most underrated smart move pickups of the offseason.
Next question, how's your star? So identify the star player. I think it's fairly obvious with this team, but identify the star player and his status quo, coming to camp healthy, nursing something, needs to improve. Tell us about the star of the Angels.
He's too good to be true, really. I mean, Mike Trout has never finished lower than second in the MVP voting. He's got, right now, after 5 years at the age of 25, he has numbers that are better than some Hall of Famers. He's on a career path that's going to have him in the conversation for being one of the 10 best players of all time. And not only that, it's his approach. It's the way he takes it, the seriousness he takes it. He comes to play every day. And when you have a guy with an attitude like that, not unlike his buddy Albert Pujols, I think it rubs off on the whole room. We came to play today. It doesn't matter whether we're up 10 in the standings, down 10, up 10 in the game, down 10. Mike Trout's the same guy every day.
What's the vision? So what's the vision of the Angels? Just the big picture overall front office goals when they really heading into spring training, but also heading into the regular season as well.
Billy Epler's general manager did not inherit a farm system that would allow him to make big breathtaking moves. And so what he did was he operated under the radar. Ben Revere, Maven, Luis Valbuena, guys like that, Martin Maldonado. But while he's hoping to keep the Angels competitive this year, his larger goal and that what his work will be about is getting the farm system upgraded. When he gets the farm system upgraded, given the payroll that the Angels have, the potential, the seats they sell, all that. It could be a monster franchise, and that's the larger picture going in. Keep everybody healthy, compete, but also put the Angels in position that they can win every year.
Next topic is the perfect season. So a realistic view of what the Angels would say would be a perfect season come the fall, the winter, when they're looking back and they say, wow, that was pretty awesome. What would have to happen?
Garrett Richards stays healthy. Matt Shoemaker stays healthy. Tyler Skaggs stay healthy. If those things happen and they're not decimated by injuries in other parts, they are an October baseball team, or at least in an American League West, where you sort of look at it and say, okay, Houston's the best team. Seattle and the Angels are the next two best teams. They have a chance to be playing meaningful games in September. But I think the way they would look at it, you know, when you've won a World Series, that was 15 years ago, but when you've won a World Series, you just want to go play in October and see how good you are. That would constitute a perfect season. They feel like if they just keep their guys on the field, they're good enough to go to the postseason.
Okay, let's talk about the core of the Angels. So who can you identify, 2, 3, 4 players, whatever it is, that make up the core of this Angels team now and moving forward?
Mike Trout is the guy that makes everything revolves around him. Albert Pujols, because of his stature in the game, I don't know that he'll be ready opening day after having the foot surgery. But he also, like Trout, sets a tone. You know, he's a serious guy the way he goes about his business. But in terms of the pitching staff, if Garrett Richards is healthy, I mean, he's an all-star caliber starting pitcher. He did not undergo Tommy John surgery. He had the injection, all of that. Those are the three guys. And if you feel like, if you get dominant seasons out of Richards, Pujols, and Trout, you probably feel like we're going to do okay.
Last topic. Who are you looking forward to seeing at spring training? Whether it's a prospect that might be knocking on the door or a regular player who you're just interested in watching, who would you be looking forward to watching at spring training?
I want to see the new catcher, Martin Maldonado, who's been with the Angels before. He's got one of those throwing arms that I think scouts come out early to see him throw, and I think he helps elevate them. And also, just the other thing would be just to watch Simmons and Espinosa play in the middle of the infield. One of the things Billy Epler's done is really upgraded the defense. And I just think the whole could be greater than the sum of the parts, because they're not going to give up a lot of runs, and they got a chance to score runs.
Okay. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.
Okay, it's time to preview the Seattle Mariners as they head to spring training. Let's talk to Greg Johns about our different categories. Greg, I'm just going to throw some questions at you, and you tell me off the top of your head what comes to mind. The first question is a difference maker. Who would be a difference maker on the Mariners? Maybe a guy who might, a good season, may put the Mariners over the edge, or if he doesn't have such a good year, could hurt them in the standings.
Yeah, I think really the difference maker from this year, from last, is going to be shortstop Gene Segura. I think a huge pickup for Seattle. And, you know, I was talking to him at FanFest, and a really interesting situation, a guy that Robinson Cano took under his wing a year ago. Segura had lost his 9-month-old son in 2014, and in 2015, I should say, all-star in Milwaukee in 2014. He had a 23-year-old and lost his son the next year, had just a tough time mentally with that and really struggled with some things, and wound up leaning on Robinson Cano, as a fellow Dominican and neighbor down there, and really credits him with being a huge part of his mental turnaround. And pretty interesting, they work out every day in the Dominican. They're partners in the hitting cage, out in the field, and nobody was happier when he got traded to Seattle than Gene Segura, and to be lining up with Robinson Cano every day in the middle infield. I think he could have it's going to be a perfect situation for him. And the difference he brings, along with Gerard Dyson, is the speed that Scott Servais was looking for last year. Really wanted to attack the game and make other teams uncomfortable, and just didn't have that. I mean, they had Nori Aoki was supposed to be their leadoff guy, and wound up, he was 7-for-16 in stolen bases, and they ended up just really couldn't use him in that. Segura is a guy who stole 33 bags, and Dyson, the guy who stole 30. So between the two of those guys, 63 stolen bases last year for coming onto a team that totaled 56 last year. The Mariners going to be a different look next year, or this year, I should say, with Segura and Dyson, some guys can really run.
Okay, next question. Who might surprise? So a player who may make the team out of spring training that's not expected to, or maybe a contributing guy who might be even do a little bit more. Who could be a surprise?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest surprises the Mariners might have this spring and this is a team that's pretty set. If you listen to Jerry DePoto, they know what they're doing going into camp. But I think a guy that's going to open some eyes is Andrew Moore, young right-hander, and I don't know if he's going to crack that 25 man coming out of spring, but he's a guy I'm pretty confident we're going to see pitching at some point in the big leagues this year. He was the Mariner minor league pitcher of the year last year in Double A, and that's a big jump to come to the majors for a 22-year-old. But he's a guy that quietly behind the scenes they're counting on if they need to fill a spot. If they one of those expected starters falters or gets hurt in some fashion, I think we're going to see Andrew Moore. And this is a guy he doesn't throw up 100. He's not a big guy. He's 6 foot, 185. But he's a strike thrower. He seems to know how to win, and he's really one that they're pretty intrigued by. So keep an eye on Andrew Moore in spring training. He's a guy that's really knocking on the door, and I think he's going to surprise some people this year at some point.
Okay, next question. How's your star? So let's talk about first identify the star player and just a status update. Is he status quo? Is he coming into camp healthy? Maybe he needs to improve on something. Tell us about your star player.
If you want to pick one star for the Mariners, and they got a couple of them, but I think Robinson Cano is the kind of the star of the stars for this team. And coming off a big bounce back year last year, I think he's the guy that's really going to drive that team. If they're going to make the playoffs, they need Robinson Cano to stay healthy and duplicate that effort that he had last year. When he hit 298, he had career high 39 homers and 350 on base. And this guy did everything. All-star again, and I think he's sixth in MLB in WAR. I mean, this guy is a machine out there at second base. He's one of the best second basemen in the history of the game. If you want to start looking at things, I think he's a future Hall of Famer if he keeps going a little bit longer, and I see no reason he won't. 7 years remaining on that contract, Robinson Cano at 34. These are the prime big years for Cano in Seattle, and I think he's the star that they really need to shine this year if they're going to go where they want to go.
Okay, next question. What is the vision? So I kind of laugh at this. I think we know what the front office has in mind, but what is the front office trying to accomplish this spring training and beyond into the regular season? How have things changed this winter? Where do the Mariners go from here? Just kind of a big picture look.
When you talk about a vision for the Mariners, I think you look to Jerry DePoto, and it's pretty easy to see when he comes in. He's made 37 trades in 16 months since he took over in Seattle, and 12 of those this spring already with a full season still to be working. Photo came in with an idea what he wanted to do, which was to get more athletic, get more defensive, guys that can get on base. And we've seen that over and over again with his moves to kind of add hitters that fit more of his mold. He wants a team that can really fit Safeco Field. Last year, he made some progress that way, but this ended up still, ironically, being a team that hit a lot of homers. Wasn't very good defensively around the base pass. And this year, I think the vision that we've seen is to get quicker, more defensive in the outfield, particularly a little younger in some positions. His vision is to keep that core nucleus, but to build around it with some young guys this year coming in with Haniger and Vogelbach and Segura, Gamel, Heredia. These are young guys to kind of infuse that speed and defense that we're talking about, kind of raise the floor around that core group. And that's really been his vision since he got here, is to raise the team around that real solid core group that he's got and see if they can put this thing together and make a run for it.
Okay, let's look at what the perfect season might be. So come wintertime, team looks back, they say, wow, that was a perfect season, a realistic look on what would have to happen for this to really be something that they look back on and say, wow, that was pretty great.
I guess any team's perfect season ends in the World Series, right? But I think the pretty clear goal for the Mariners is to make the playoffs, end baseball's longest postseason drought. I mean, they got to get over that hump. They haven't been in the playoffs since 2001, and that's 15 long years that they've been waiting, and they feel like they're very close. Obviously, last year, a 10-win improvement. They came down to the final weekend in the chase for a wild card berth. They don't want to be in a chase for the wild card berth. They want to be in a chase for the AL West title this year. Their perfect season is to win that West, and it's a pretty open division. I think it's certainly a realistic goal, and they feel like they're lined up to make a good run for that. They win that division, get in the playoffs. I think they're going to be pretty happy. Of course, you always want to go as far as you can once you get there, but you got to get there. The thing for this team is to make the playoffs and quit talking about the drought and start talking about winning it again and going on from there and making this thing a consistent playoff team.
If you had to identify a few players that comprise the core of the Mariners, who would you identify?
Yeah, I mean, the Mariners' core is pretty clear. I mean, it's what they've built around since DePoto got here. It's what, you know, you look at the money. I guess that's the core. Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, Felix Hernandez, and Kyle Seager, kind of the big four. And those are the guys making the money. Those are the guys that they've tried to build around since DePoto got here to kind of raise the floor around those guys. If those four have good seasons, which they have last year, very good seasons, you can win with those guys. You got to play well around them, and that'll be the key. But those four guys, it's four pretty good players.
And who are you looking forward to watching most when you get to spring training? Obviously, there's a lot of very exciting things going on with the Mariners, but you had to identify one player that you're really looking forward to watching develop through spring training. Who would that be?
The guy I'm really excited to see, and he's not a young guy, but he's a guy that's new to Seattle, and that's Jerod Dyson. I mean, this is a guy who's going to come in and really light things up. You know, he's a unique weapon in baseball, and the Royals used him in interesting ways. You know, a lot of times in a part-time role, just a speed guy off the bench. The Mariners are hoping to, you know, more of an everyday player, but this is a guy who can run with the best of them. And maybe better than the best of them. I'm excited to see him play, both in the field and on the bases. And also, really, a personality guy. We had a chance to meet him at FanFest, his first appearance in Seattle. And this is a guy who can talk as well as Leonis Martin, which is saying something. I think they can have a little competition to see who's the bigger talker in the dugout and the clubhouse and out on the field. So it's a lot of personality, a lot of speed, and I'm very, very interested to see how Jerod Dyson fits in. He seems like a guy who teammates love. The story on him in Kansas City was he was kind of the leader of the clubhouse, even though he played in a part-time role on a very good team. He's a guy that the players kind of gravitate to. It'll be very fun to see Jerod Dyson in a Mariner uniform.
Okay, great stuff, Greg. Thank you.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.